Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, August 21, 2022, Romans.
All right, as we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans 5 verse 2 sounds like this: by the agency of whom, the Lord Jesus Christ, we have also obtained access into the presence of the living and true God, by means of faith in Christ, into this grace, in which grace we stand in the path, with the result that we keep on standing forever. And so, we keep on boasting in confidence in the glory of God, in the essence of God. And we noted 5 points. Boasting in the glory of God is a great virtue in the spiritual life. It's a demonstration that you have fulfilled 1 John 2:5. You've had virtue love brought to completion in your heart. It's a demonstration that you have personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. You boast in the glory of God because you know the essence of God. You know His attributes. You know who and what God is. You know His plan of grace, His policy of grace. And the more you glory in the essence of God, the more you love God. Boasting in the glory of God is gratitude. It's appreciation for who and what God is. Boasting in the glory of God is thanksgiving directed toward God. In fact, one of the great spiritual sacrifices that the believer offers to God the Father is thanksgiving. And that was Hebrews 13, verse 15. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. Spiritual sacrifice. You offer this in your prayers. And when you reach that point of spiritual adulthood, you really look forward to prayer. You want to pray. You look forward to pray. And you take that time, not because you have to, but because you want to. You want to. And it all starts out with a spiritual sacrifice to God the Father of thanksgiving, gratitude, appreciation for who and what He is. And the more you grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, the more the time in your prayers will be directed to thanksgiving and gratitude to God for who and what He is. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice, a spiritual sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name, His person, His essence, who and what He is. 6. The believer offers the spiritual sacrifice of thanksgiving to God the Father for His essence and His amazing grace to us. His policy of grace to us. The believer offers the spiritual sacrifice of thanksgiving to God the Father for His essence and His amazing grace to us. 7. However, human ingratitude is the result of living in the cosmic system. Arrogance. However, human ingratitude is the result of living in the cosmic system and arrogance. Eight, arrogance has no capacity for gratitude or thanksgiving. Arrogance has no capacity for gratitude or thanksgiving. That's why I say the winner believer not only has Christmas every day, has Thanksgiving every day. Why? Because he has gratitude for who and what God is. His essence, His attributes, His policy. He has fantastic thanksgiving and gratitude to express. And so he has Thanksgiving every day. And Christmas every day. Arrogance has no capacity for gratitude or thanksgiving. 9. Gratitude and thanksgiving directed toward God has to start with the foundational virtue of the spiritual life, and that is humility. Humility. Authority orientation. Respect for the authority of God, His Word, and the pastor who teaches it. So gratitude and thanksgiving directed toward God has to start with the foundational virtue of the spiritual life. All other virtues are built on this foundation. Humility. Ten. Boasting in the glory of God is the result of living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. We have been given in the church age a unique spiritual life. First lived by the Lord Jesus Christ in His hypostatic union, the first advent, passed on to the royal family of God in the church age. So boasting in the glory of God is the result of living the spiritual life that God has given to us in the church age by the spiritual skills, by the power of the filling of the Spirit, by the power of the Word of God in your heart, executing God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. 11. Boasting directed towards self, however, is arrogance. Boasting directed towards self, however, is arrogance. And you're living in interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. So, Romans 5, 1 through 3 now sounds like this. Therefore, because we were justified by faith, imputed with the righteousness from God, and declared to be righteous, we have peace with God. Result number one of justification. Reconciliation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Result number two, verse 2. By the agency of whom, the Lord Jesus Christ, we have obtained access into the presence of the living and true God by means of faith in Jesus Christ. Result number three. Into this grace, in which grace we stand in the past with the result that we keep on standing forever. And so, we keep on boasting in confidence in the glory of God, the essence of God. Now, I mentioned in the first class that this word glory, doxa, D-O-K-S-A, doxa. It's translated glory. It's used over and over and over many, many times in the scriptures. And whenever you're compiling a doctrine, why, the pastor will go through and look up doxa. And I have Moulton and Gedon, and it tells me every single use of doxa, every verse, and I put them all down, and then the pastor goes through and looks up all those and then categorizes it and puts it into a doctrine, a categorical doctrine. But it's by going through looking at doxa. But it's not just doxa, that is a Greek word for glory. There is a Hebrew word for glory, kavod. K-A-B-long-O-D, kavod. Kavod is the Hebrew word for glory. So then the pastor goes to the Hebrew, looks up every place in the Old Testament scriptures where kavod is used for glory, looks them all up, puts them all down, organizes, categorizes, and then he combines the two and comes up with a categorical doctrine. Now, I don't know if you appreciate what the pastor is doing. I will go home and Deb will say, what were you working on? I said, Romans. I said, but I spent all day and I haven't put one thing down that I can teach yet. Studied. I don't have one thing yet to communicate. I'll go back next day. What'd you work on today? Romans. I still don't have anything to teach. I'm looking up all these passages, and this would go on day after day. So I will put in hours and hours and hours and hours and hours to get a 3-page categorical doctrine on glory. Now, I expect all of you to pat me on the back afterwards and tell me why, what a good boy I am. And, you know, kind of like your dog, you know. What, good boy, good boy. I'm always telling my dog he's a good boy, and he always says back to me, you're a good boy too, you know. So, the glory of God. One, the glory of God refers to the sum total of His divine essence. This is one of the uses of the glory of God. One of the great uses of the glory of God refers to the sum total of His divine essence. Or sometimes it refers to a specific attribute. And we will see that. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You all know that passage. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What's the glory of God? The absolute righteousness of God. God has a standard in His essence. That standard in His essence is absolute righteousness. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God is all have sinned and come short of that absolute standard of absolute righteousness. So sometimes it's used for just one attribute. Sometimes it's used for a couple. Sometimes it's used for the entire essence of God. So the glory of God refers to the sum total of His divine essence. That's one of the great uses of the word too. The Greek word doxa. It has many different connotations. Sometimes it means brightness or radiance or splendor or magnificence or fame or renown or honor or glory. All of these are connotations of the word doxa. Brightness, radiance, splendor, magnificence, fame, renown, honor, glory. That's doxa. Three, The Hebrew word kavod has many connotations. Majesty, splendor, nobility, riches, honor, glory. Majesty, splendor, nobility, riches, honor, glory. Four, glory always has the connotation of honor inherent in a person. Honor inherent in a person, distinction in a person, greatness of a person, renown, fame, nobility, majesty of a person. So glory always has the connotation of honor inherent in a person. Distinction, greatness, renown, fame, nobility, majesty. Five, glory is used for the attributes of God in total or in part. Glory is used for the attributes of God in total or in part. Turn over to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy 5, verse 24. And you said, behold, the Lord our God has shown us two things, His glory, and He has shown us His greatness. The Lord our God has shown us His glory and His greatness. And we have heard His voice from the midst of the fire. We have seen today that God speaks with man, and yet He lives. Glory refers to the integrity of God, His holiness, His absolute righteousness and perfect justice. Greatness refers to all of the rest of the attributes of God. So glory refers to the holiness of God, His virtue, His integrity, His absolute righteousness and perfect justice. Greatness refers to all the rest of the attributes of God. So point one is, there is a point at which we see God for the first time. That's what happened here. There is a point in your spiritual life, as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, there is a point at which we see God. We actually see God. Not we see Him in the Word of God and in our heart, with the eyes of our heart, the eyes of our soul. There is a point at which we advance to the point, we've grown up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, we see Him with the eyes of our heart. A point at which we see God for the first time. And when that happens, wahoo! Why, you want to go to prayer and offer a spiritual sacrifice of thanksgiving for who and what He is. Two, you cannot see the greatness of God until you can see the glory of God. You cannot see the greatness of God until you can see the glory of God. Three, seeing the glory of God is seeing the integrity of God, the holiness of God, through the Word of God. Seeing the glory of God is seeing the integrity of God, the holiness of God, through the Word of God. Four. The glory of God has many applications. Now I mentioned Romans 3:23. Turn over to Romans 3:23. Turn over to Romans 3:23. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned. This is the entire human race. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In His attributes, God has a standard, an absolute standard, absolute righteousness. When it says here, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, we all come short of that perfect standard of who and what God is. We all fall short of the absolute righteousness of God. The entire human race, we come into the world of physical birth, physically alive and spiritually dead. We, in spiritual death, we're totally depraved. In our spiritual death, we then, from our sin nature, produce sin. And all of those sins fall short of the righteousness of God. If we're going to live with God forever, we have to have that righteousness that comes from God. And it only comes one way, by faith in Jesus Christ. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. When we place our faith in Christ, God imputes His righteousness to us, declares us righteous, justified. Justification by faith in Christ. Now we have the righteousness that God has. Now we're qualified to live with God forever. But when we came into the world, we all came into the world short of the righteousness of God. All have sinned. Every member of the human race. All have sinned and fall short of the absolute righteousness of God. So Romans 3:23 says that to fall short of the glory of God is to fall short of His absolute righteousness. And God's righteousness rejects sin. God's glory is also the source of wisdom. God's glory is the source of wisdom. Wisdom in our hearts, which will bring you to the point of occupation with Jesus Christ. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, verse 17. Ephesians 1, 17. I keep asking, this is the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul had a phenomenal prayer life. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you this is the word pneuma, but it can mean lifestyle. The lifestyle of wisdom. Wisdom is the word of God you've learned and believed and now is in your heart. It's called Sophia in the Greek, Chokma in the Hebrew. It means that you now can skillfully and accurately apply the word of God to your life, to your situations, to what's going on in America, to what's going on in the world. So I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the lifestyle of wisdom, even from revelation, by the epinosis knowledge of Him, Jesus Christ. Point six. Point six, glory is used for the indwelling of Christ. Jesus Christ indwells every one of us. At the moment we place our faith in Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit indwells our body. We have in our body already the sin nature from physical birth. At the point of spiritual birth, faith in Christ, God the Holy Spirit indwells our body and makes our body a temple so that Jesus Christ, the Shekinah glory, can dwell inside of us. There are no holy buildings today in the church age, but there's a lot of holy buildings in here. Every one of you, your body is a temple, and inside that temple is the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ. There are no holy buildings. This is not a holy building. This, believe me, we spent a lot of money trying to fix all the leaks in this thing. We haven't had rain for a long time. Now we got rain and we got leaks. So we could meet here. We could meet at a restaurant. We could meet in a lot of different places. There are no holy buildings, but every one of your bodies is a temple. God the Holy Spirit indwells your body, making it a temple for Jesus Christ, the Shekinah glory, to dwell inside of you. So here is Jesus Christ indwelling your body. God the Holy Spirit indwells your body. And the objective is, as you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, wisdom gets in here, but also something else. Jesus Christ makes himself at home in your heart. How great is that? Jesus Christ will make himself at home in your heart. And you get to enjoy him moment by moment, day by day. Occupation with Jesus Christ. So point six, glory is used for the indwelling of Christ and its implications. Turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 27. Colossians 1:27. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you. The glorious riches of this mystery. What is that? What are the glorious riches? Which is Christ in you. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So, we have Jesus Christ indwelling us, as well as God the Holy Spirit indwelling us, as well as the absolute righteousness of God imputed to us. The indwelling of Jesus Christ is the guarantee. You see what happens when you come to the cross. I'm not teaching you to remember it. I'm teaching you so you'll never forget it. Come to the cross. Place your faith in Jesus Christ. At that moment, the justice of God imputes to you the righteousness of God, establishing a grace pipeline. Every one of you have God's righteousness. You have God's imputed righteousness in all of you. On the other end is the justice of God. You're now encapsulated by the integrity of God. And this establishes a grace pipeline. And down that grace pipeline comes blessings. The moment of faith in Christ, 40 salvation blessings. Logistical grace, blessing and support. And when you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, greater grace blessings. And all of this is connected with the glory of Christ, the Shekinah glory, indwelling you. The indwelling of Jesus Christ is the guarantee of our greater grace blessings from the justice of God the Father. So glory is used for the indwelling of Christ and its implications. We have Jesus Christ indwelling us, as well as the imputation of the righteousness of God imputed to us. And the indwelling of Christ is the guarantee of our greater grace blessings from the justice of God. Well, that's the first 6 points on the doctrine of glory. After I spent all the weeks getting this together, you're going to get the rest of the points. So you get to come back. Now there's, you don't have to come back. If you want to go and stay home, you want to pop popcorn, why go home and stay home and pop popcorn? You can do, you're welcome. I don't invite anybody to come here. I invite people to leave, but I don't invite anybody to come here. You're free to come. You're free not to come. You're free to hear the teaching of the Word of God and believe it. You're free to say, I think it's a bunch of hooey. That's up to you. But you have freedom and a volition and a free will. Free to believe in Christ, free to reject Christ. Free to believe the Word of God, free to reject the Word of God. Next week, on Sunday, we'll continue with the doctrine of glory. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.